So it was really cool to have Walk the Moon come in before their show in Atlanta, Georgia at the Coca-Cola Roxy. So what we had the guys in, did a Q&A in a lounge with a bunch of listeners. This is the guys from Walk the Moon coming into the Adam Bomb Show.
And make some noise for Walk the Moon, everybody. How comfy do those couches look right now?
They actually look really nice. Good.
Why don't we trade? Everybody sits up here and we'll sit down there. So what's new, guys? We talked at the AMAs, and it looked like you just rolled in from like a 4 a.m. party.
At the American Awards.
Was it really?
That's every day.
It is really? Let's be real with everybody. Like, the life of rock stars, how exhausting is it, though? Just because you're constantly, every night you're doing a show, every night you got to put 100% out. Yeah. And then you just want to chill, but you can't because you got to go to the next city, right?
It's a little weird. I say that it's like every night is both Friday night and Sunday night. You know, because every night feels like a party, but also you got to work tomorrow. You know?
Yeah, right.
So that's kind of the vibe. You know, it is exhausting. You know,
When you guys when you first go on stage at a show, I mean, tonight at the Roxy, you're first going to go on. What goes through your heads? Is it, wow, we're doing this for a living, or wow, look how far we've come, or oh my gosh, what am I? You know what I mean? Like, what goes through the first thing in your head?
This tour has been a bit like that. This tour is such a culmination of a lot of years of work, like personal internal work, and just obviously work in the studio. And we've put our heart and soul into this record in particular, and we're so proud of it. And to come out to these shows, and so many of them have been sold out, and we're playing newer and bigger venues, to be able to play this new music for these people, after taking so much time off the road, it feels amazing.
Do you guys remember the first time you four played together? Where it was, what it was like?
I think so.
Was it Northside Tavern?
I think it was Northside Tavern.
I was
going
to say in Nick's basement, but
well, that's
to rehearse for that show.
Yeah, there is still a tavern on the north side of Cincinnati called Northside Tavern, very creatively named. And I remember growing up and going to shows in Cincinnati and being like, oh man, this, if we could just fill this place, we would be the coolest band in town, you know. And at this time, Walk the Moon was kind of a revolving door of different characters. And this was the first show, this Northside Tavern show was the first show that the four of us played together at the same time.
Okay.
They each played in the band at different times, but all of us at the same time was at this show, and we packed it out. And I think it was we were throwing a crayon party. Everyone was dressed as a different color crayon.
Yeah. Really?
That's what we would do. That's kind of how the face paint started, in a way. We would throw these theme parties.
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
At what point did the face paint, did you not face your, or paint your faces? Because was there like a show where you're like, we're not going to do that anymore?
Hmm. We broke up with the face paint for a minute. Or we had like a bit of a...
We weren't talking.
Yeah.
But our faces broke out, and so we broke up.
That's a great reason.
Yeah.
Nobody had Stridex or anything anymore. Yeah.
I think there was a period of time where we thought we might escape it, mm-hmm. like we might leave it behind because it might come to define us. But we just couldn't. People kept coming into the shows painted, and it became the spirit of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, more importantly, like, we missed it. You know, it feels like part of the show, and it feels like part of the identity of the band. So we like doing it. It's part of the ritual. It's part of suiting up for the show.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Guys, if you want to ask questions to Walk the Moon, just think of what you want to ask. I want to ask you guys if you could ask.
And I will receive them.
Yes,
cosmically.
If you guys could ask your fans one question, what would it be?
Why?
I'd love to know the answer. No, but if there's a specific question that you'd want to ask the fans, like
right,
at a show tonight at the Roxy, you want to ask this on stage, what would it be?
I'm just picturing Russell Crowe in The Gladiator. He throws the sword at the audience.
Are you not entertained? No, I wouldn't throw a sword out of the Roxy tonight.
I would avoid that, Nick, if you could do that.
Yeah, I'm going to avoid that. I'll avoid the Russell Crowe.
I'm curious if there's a song that we play a lot that they just, like, don't want to hear anymore. You know what I mean?
Is there one, guys?
Right.
No.
No.
None. I'm sick of Anasonic.
It's a lie.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, when we're making our set lists, it's intense. You know, like, oh, my God, are people sick of hearing this song? Are we sick of playing
this
song?
Does that really go through your mind?
Oh, there's so much. We're looking at, like, analytic stats from Spotify. Well, like, they're streaming this song a lot. You know, we're, like, really digging in and getting scientific with it. And then... And then hoping they all come together to make something cohesive live, you know?
Was that like for you guys when Shut Up and Dance was played 150 times on all the pop stations at one point? Did that ever go through your mind with that song?
Did we get worried that people would get sick of hearing it?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, there was no sign of sickness there.
Right.
It was,
yeah.
I have a sucker in my mouth for those of you who are listening to this recording. There was no sign of it. It was, audience kept bringing it harder and harder as time went on. So I don't think we've ever felt like that's
going to
hold us back.
You know, when you guys get a song like that or One Foot, what's the feeling like when you know you got something that's really going to be big and that people all over the world are going to know for a long time? Because instantly when you hear the guitar play with Shut Up, and you know exactly what that is. And One Foot's getting that way right now.
Right.
That's awesome.
One Foot's got that hooting and hollering at the beginning.
Right.
That iconic hooting and hollering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is sometimes, I mean, every time you finish any song, there is a little bit of that feeling like, we did it, you know.
Woo!
Woo! But there is something with certain songs where like, oh, well, that's obviously a smash.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it's going to take that path out in the world. You know, there are lots of songs. There are plenty of bands that I really love who had great songs that, you know, didn't top this or that chart or didn't get this or that number.
Right.
So it's always a mystery and a gamble, even when you have something that you know is the shit.
Well played. I like that. Do you guys listen to old Walk the Moon? Like, go back to, 2010, 2009, and listen to the old stuff?
I listen to the demos. I listen to the stuff we didn't put out. You know, that stuff. But I think I've listened to, the first record, the one that has, Anasonic on it. Mm-hmm. I've listened to it once in the last 5 years, I think. You were listening to our entire discography right before we put out the record.
Yeah, at one point I just...
check it.
Right, I just, went all the way down, and it was so fascinating to just be to be the observer, be the witness to the music, and just watch us grow up and make weird choices. Why did we do that? What the hell is that song?
What's the weirdest choice you've made as a band? In anything. It doesn't even have to be music, it could be anything.
The weirdest choice we've made.
One time we all painted our tuxes different colors for the VMAs.
Yeah,
that was a weird choice.
How do you paint a tux? With literal paint?
Paint.
Yeah, we were literally out there with our stylist, throwing paint at suits.
This is on brand, right?
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah.
Going on tour with Pink was an interesting choice.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
Right.
Well, why though? Because when somebody says they're going on tour with Pink,
right,
the first reaction is that's enormous.
Right, and it was.
Right.
You know, we got to do, we were really lucky, we got to do maybe 15 shows across 3 countries in Europe with Pink when she was doing an arena tour,
mm-hmm.
Which is an amazing opportunity to get in front of a lot of new people. The thing was that we, you know, we were 4 guys in decent clothes, you know, playing instruments. You know, the best we can, and we're putting on what we think is a pretty energetic live show.
Yeah.
But then Pink comes on, and it's just the circus on stage. You know, there are dudes with abs, you know, and there are women with no clothing on, and she's flying, and you know, she's singing while she's flying, and there's fire, and it's like, what are we doing here? You know, how are we supposed to compete with that? You know,
right.
And she's, you know. She's epic and amazing. So that's why that felt like a little, you know, it was a wake-up call. We need to up our game in some way.
When you watch performers like Pink and how ridiculous they are, is there a performer that comes to mind that you guys are like, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I love that. Besides Pink.
The Killers.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Brendan Flowers.
Yeah.
Epic. Just epic band, epic sound. Always redefining their sound, and yet staying really familiar. And then the front man osity of Brandon Flowers is just undeniable.
Mm. All right, guys, Walk the Moon. You got some questions? Put up the hand right now. Let's go. What's your name, buddy?
My name is Clayton, and have you considered flying? Going back to the whole Pink thing, have you considered, you know,
flying
taking
on stage?
That aspect?
Well,
yes.
While we were on tour with Pink, so they had like a drape that came up right before we walked on stage, and one night the drape got caught in my drum kit, and the drum kit's like really really connected together really tightly with all the wires and the mics and stuff, and the curtain when it rose it caught on one of my stands, and there's like a good like 20-25 foot string of drums just hanging down from the curtain. So we tried to fly. We attempted it. We tried to upstage Pink, but it
didn't sound good or look good.
No. Yeah. No, nobody, well, we forgot to turn the lights on when it was happening. We just put the lights on after it happened. Yeah, so right. That was like our entrance to 12,000 people. It was like a just a smash drum
in
Manchester.
Yeah.
They liked it. They really liked it. Everybody voiced their opinion. They said, that's a new idea.
New. That's what they were saying, right? Yeah. They actually were booing. We walked out on stage in Manchester. The drums are everywhere. And the lights come on and everyone's booing. And walking in like scared, scurries off stage.
Yeah.
And the crew comes back on and starts repairing things.
All right, who's got another question? Put them up. Somebody. There we go. We'll go back here. By the way, when Pink performed on the side of a building at the AMAs, would you guys ever consider doing that?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Here, come on up. Come on up here, Catherine. I have no idea.
You guys are all from Cincinnati?
We're half from Cincinnati, half from Columbus.
Okay, for the half from Cincinnati, I want to know what is the actual right way to order Skyline Chili?
Two conies, mustard and onions, cheese, and a small three-way.
Nah, big, humongous five-way. That's the way to go.
He's not from Cincinnati.
The right way to do it is after 2 a.m.
Yeah, order anything after 2 a.m. and that's the right way.
What do you guys eat at? What do you guys eat at 2 a.m. on the road?
It's
depends what city.
Yeah, but the most consistent thing is odd combinations of small cereal boxes out of a solo cup. Yeah, because that's like somehow we've upped our rider in a lot of ways. We have like some healthy options. We have vegetables. We've got like rotisserie chicken. You know, we're trying to take care of ourselves better. But these tiny boxes of cereal keep showing up no matter what we do.
And who's so ordering those?
You know, I don't know. Blakey, where are you?
So it's like,
oh yeah, Cocoa Krispies and Fruit Loops in the same cup will be delicious right now. Let's put that and milk on top of the, you know.
Or put the cereal in the chili, right? Try the 2 a.m. Put cereal in chili and see how that tastes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we put chocolate in chili, you know, in Cincinnati.
You really do?
Did you know?
No.
Yeah.
Any of you guys know that?
That's Skyline.
That's Skyline. It's chocolate and cinnamon in there.
All right, final question, guys. Final question. How much fun? How much fun are you guys having?
Oh, tons of
How do you
fun.
Answer?
Yeah. I don't mean Ed during this interview, but I mean overall. Like
about 30 fun units.
Yeah, right.
It's a good way to do it.
We're living the dream, absolutely. I mean, we're working for it.
Yeah.
But we're absolutely living the dream. And like I said, you know, the new music is so fun and so fulfilling to play because it's so raw and it's really emotional. And we've got this spaceship has landed on the Walk the Moon stage, and it's this crazy light show production that we feel like we've upgraded, every aspect, and our team, the people that we get to work with and that help us set up and make the, you know, make the gears turn every day. Everyone on the team is incredible, and so we're really, on the dream boat right now.
Yeah, well, I'm impressed. You know, you perform for us before the AMAs, and everything you guys do is really energy, and we appreciate y'all. Let's give it up for Walk the Moon.
Thank you, guys.
Want to get some pictures with everybody?
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan. All right, we'll move these chairs, guys, and we'll come up in groups of two.